Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
It's time for News from the Nest
with Vinny and Haney.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Don't miss out. Buy two windows from Window Nation and get two free. Plus, no interest or payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. News from the Nest here on this Monday. Isaiah Likely, Ravens tight end, was on Up and Adams with Kay Adams talking about various subjects relating to the Baltimore Ravens, including the possibility, which is now confirmed, of opening against the Chiefs this year.
Well, wherever they are, wherever they, you know, they match up on that schedule, we're going to be there. 10 toes, every guy there, ready for everything that happens.
You know this team. What does that do to guys like you and Lamar if it was that game? Is that a good thing? Should I be rooting for that if I'm a Ravens fan?
I mean, last time they had us on the underdogs, we was playing San Fran. And you seen what happened when everybody talks about us, like how we ain't ready for the smoke, how everybody hoopla, hipla. I mean, we gonna come 10 toes ready for everything,
hoopla,
every time.
Hipla.
Hoopla, hipla. 10 toes. Coming ready for it. And he's talking about the Christmas Day game or night against the 49ers, a game which basically decided the league MVP, Purdy versus Lamar. And it was one-sided in favor of Lamar, and then Lamar just took it to another level the next week against Miami to pretty much seal the deal there. But Likely is an interesting one for me here, Nolan. And we look at his stats last year, 30 catches, 5 touchdowns. The vast majority of this was done after Mark Andrews got hurt that Thursday night against the Cincinnati Bengals. Because going into that game, Likely had less than 10 catches and no touchdowns, and then exploded onto the scene. And then another touchdown in the playoffs against Houston. Then Andrews came back, and then we forgot Likely, I guess, was on the field until the ill-fated throw into triple coverage there in the end zone. Curious for me is how much Todd Monken's going to try to involve both Andrews and Likely in the pass offense this year, because it was either all or nothing for Likely. When Andrews was playing, he got nothing. When Andrews was gone, he was running around out there like Dave Casper. Can they both coexist, I guess, in a pass-happy offense with Lamar this year?
I think we've moved beyond trying to make it work. They have to make it work. I mean, this is, you know, something that was kind of talked about and toyed with the idea, even going back to, you know, training camp in 2022 when Likely was a rookie and you started to see him flashing some of that potential, some of those strong traits that the Ravens liked when they drafted him. And then circumstances happened. Kohler was also in the mix, and you didn't really know what you had with either of those guys as rookies. But as the season progressed, there became a need for Likely. Andrews was banged up, missed a little bit of time. Likely filled in very well as a rookie. And then going into last year, once again, we were asking, okay, full season under Likely's belt. You got to see what he looks like taking some starter reps. New offensive coordinator, a new offensive coordinator that's going to prioritize the pass game. I think everyone just assumed that we would be seeing two tight end sets, or at the very least that both of these guys would find ways to be productive at the same time. And it just never happened. And then, like you said, for it to all come back and kind of rear its ugly head in the playoffs, where you had some people saying, well, is it even worth it to have Andrews play in that game? Was he truly 100%?
No.
You were rolling with Likely in the first place. You know, what's the gap there at that point between the two players when you account for the injury? Look, clean slate going into next year, they got to make it work, because some people have concerns with the wide receiver core, but if you utilize both of those tight ends like you should, then all right, it's not that big of a deal that you're a little bit thin at receiver.
Yeah, and Likely to me, and I mean this with all due respect, Ricky Bobby style to Mark Andrews, is probably a little more athletic and explosive at this stage. I think Likely brings that stretch the field capabilities here. Andrews is a brilliant player, and he's going in the Ravens Ring of Honor when his career is all said and done, which hopefully isn't going to be for a few more seasons. But I mean, we're an advanced society. I think that Todd Monken can figure out a way that they can both eat and be productive for the Ravens this year.
Right. And look at, you know, prior to last year, Mark Andrews was, you know, Lamar's favorite target. He always has been.
No doubt.
Would force feed him the ball at times, and even in double coverage, say, all right, I trust Mark to make a play here. Well, Likely, I mean, he showed you the ability to go up and get the ball. You know, you think about that crazy catch against the Jaguars last year where Lamar escapes the sack and just flings it out there and Likely goes and makes a play. So that trust factor is now there with Likely, just like it was with Andrews. Imagine having both of those guys on the field. What does an opposing defense do? Who do you double? I mean, somebody's going to be open between those two guys.
It's news from the Nest. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw here on this Monday. Hey, we could all use afford to drop a couple pounds. Well, maybe not Nolan, but, you know, Bobster could drop a few. And, you know, Lamar's dropped a few. Matter of fact, he's dropped like 20-some more than he was weighing in 2022. Here's Isaiah Likely with Kay Adams talking about Lamar's weight loss. Oh, my God.
So I guess he said he was like 230, 235.
Okay.
My rookie year. And then now he's slim. So, like, the first time I seen L, he came back and we was throwing. And, like, I'm walking, I'm looking up, and I'm like, who is that? And then he run over to me. I'm like, man, ain't no way. What you ain't been eating, L? And he's like, man, like, I'm good now. He's like, I'm back running how I am. I'm just going to say now, if y'all thought L was fast before,
stop.
L couldn't get caught before. I don't know if unanimous is going to be the word this year. That's all I'm going to say.
So he's saying that he's going to be, this is Isaiah Likely, Nolan, talking about Lamar, even more explosive than he's been. Now, he came in girthier in 22, which was a big deal at the time because he wasn't out running angles, then eventually got hurt and KO'd for the final month of the season. Jeff Zrebeck wrote in The Athletic, 205er. That's a cruiserweight. He's coming in at 205. Was he really 230? He's down 22 pounds, apparently, from where he was 2 years ago. And as Vinny pointed out, I remember his neck was a little on the thicker side.
Right.
Lamar, but, I mean, can he get any faster? I mean, there's a method to the madness, we're assuming here. But you talked about it before the show. Is this a team-mandated thing, or is it Lamar just feeling he needs to be a little more stealth? in 24 here to avoid some contact.
I mean, that's that we all want the answers, and Lamar, knowing him, probably will continue to dance around it anytime he's asked about it, even though I'm sure it's a harmless, meaningless reason for why he's doing it. But I don't know. I just find it funny that this now like 3 years running where we're monitoring and having consistent conversations about Lamar's weight. I mean, you think about when you talk about an athlete's weight, it's usually never good.
Yeah,
it's not like
he's a sumo wrestler
right
here. You know what I mean?
People are always talking about Zion Williamson's weight.
And yeah.
It's never of the
and
good
rightfully
variety.
Rightfully suck.
Yes, and we're always talking about Lamar's weight, but it's just, it's strange. So maybe, all right, they gave bulking up a try, and they didn't like it. And he did ultimately get hurt that year, so the theories of bulking up and adding a little more muscle would make him more durable. Maybe they said, you know what, it's not worth it. Let's go back to a more slimmed down version. Also a possibility that they said, hey, come in at 205 or somewhere in there and we'll build you up through the summer. We'll beef you up that way in-house rather than you doing it on your own.
Yeah, and he'll be in that weight room, I'm sure, a lot. And OTAs, pardon me, open to the media a week from today. Does that sound right? The 20th?
Early next week at some point.
We're assuming he'll be there. Lamar Jackson?
He was there last month for the non-mandatory.
So he'll be there. Hey, look, if we're talking about him being 205, it beats him not signing a contract and demanding a trade, which was the narrative last year, February, March, until things got settled. He went out, won himself another MVP. We'll come back. Let's count some money here. Hopefully buy or sell. Caitlin McGrath, talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. They come to Baltimore last place in the American League East, taking on the first place Orioles, who take 2 out of 3 from the Diamondbacks. They did get blown out yesterday afternoon by the defending National League champions. Corbin Burnes trying to get that fourth win and hopefully get more than like 2 runs of support. We got Baltimore baseball tonight at 5:30. Me and Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles, brought to you by Salvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Benny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Good evening, 1057 The Fan here on this Monday. Tons going on in the world of sports. So little time. Let's count that cash first. Buy or sell.
All right. Good start to the week here. I got nothing but green. Nothing but green here. S&P 500 up about 283, or 263 rather. It's changing as we speak. I can't keep up. Under Armour is up 8 cents, and DraftKings up about, 16 cents. So green across the board. We'll take that. Buy or Sell is always brought to us by the Farmer's Dog, and we'll start in the NBA, where the Hornets have a new head coach, hiring Celtics assistant Charles Lee last week. It's his first gig as a head coach in the NBA at age 39, making him one of the youngest in the league at his position. But Charlotte, well, they'll take a spark any way they can get it right now. Their best record during their current 8-year playoff drought was a 43-39 record during the 2021-22 season. They're also a very young team, a lot of star potential, LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller, etc. But buy or sell, Bob, having a younger coach makes sense for their roster construction.
I'll buy it. I mean, they've been kind of what's the word I'm looking for here? Sucking for the past 8 years, and LaMelo Ball can't stay healthy. Brandon Miller looks like a future star in this league, and the Eastern Conference doesn't really, outside of Boston, has some teams that could be in flux this offseason. Not saying they'll jump right into some sort of playoff contention, but there's nowhere to go with up, I would think, for the Charlotte Hornets. So, yeah, go ahead. Bring a breath of fresh air in to change the voice a little bit.
Over in the NFL, the draft has come and gone, but teams will still be looking to round out their rosters heading into camp this summer. Some notable veterans remain on the open market, including safety Micah Hyde. In a recent CBS Sports article, has the Ravens listed as the best fit, quote-unquote, for him in free agency. We know that they did draft one in the 7th round, Sanusi Kane. He's a safety, but other than that, no real notable depth moves for the Ravens this offseason. Hamilton, Williams, they're the presumptive starters. Behind that, we're a little less sure. The downside here of Micah Hyde, a lot of injuries recently, neck injuries at that, missed the majority of 2022, and then suffered multiple stingers in the same season last year. Are you buying or selling the Micah Hyde fit for Baltimore?
I'll soft buy it. Jeff Zrebeck, as a matter of fact, wrote about the safety depth free agent-wise this offseason. So outside of Hyde, there's plenty to choose from. I'll soft buy that he'll be the fit, but I'd be willing to guarantee you they'll sign at least one or two before we get to training camp and all that fun stuff.
There's been some rumblings that he may just hang it up, Hyde, after all the injuries.
Yeah, those stingers aren't, they're not.
Scary stuff.
Yeah, no doubt.
In the NBA, the Celtics, 2-1 advantage. That's what they've got over the Cavs right now. Jason Tatum's 33 points in Game 3. That was the difference. He led the way. But some comments he made prior to that game, they made headlines. In response to those who have called Boston a, quote, super team, he said, we didn't have the coach of the year or MVP. We only had 2 all-stars. They say we're a super team, but we didn't get rewarded like we are. Super team or not, they are sizable favorites and were sizable favorites in the East entering the postseason. Buy or sell, Bob, Boston, not a super team in the traditional sense.
Yeah, I'm buying it. And the Zingers hurt, too. I mean, he's their third guy, I guess. Drew Holiday was kind of up in that echelon when he was in Milwaukee, still a premier defensive player, but haven't won anything. You have to have a ring, at least, on the resume. I mean, Brown's never won one. Tatum's never won one. The Zingers never won one. Holiday got one with the Bucks a couple years back. I mean, there's no hardware on that team. So, super team, new.
And I got one more for you here. The Chargers made a move over the weekend to add a little bit more pass rush depth, signing Bud Dupree to a 2-year deal worth up to $10 million. It'll be his third team in as many years, but the production, it's still there. 10.5 sacks over the last 2 seasons, while he did play 16 games last year, so pretty healthy as well. L.A., we know their starters are set with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, but those guys, there are some question marks. Bosa, not the best injury luck, if we're being honest, as of late. And Khalil Mack is on an expiring contract. Buy or sell, Bob, Bud Dupree, an excellent insurance policy for LA.
All right, well, I'll buy it. excellent, sure. Because Joey Bosa playing 17 games, probably not a reality. As you said, Nolan, he tends to, he misses a couple of games here or there for whatever reason. When he's playing, he's as disruptive as anyone at his position, but he's going to miss some time. So Bud Dupree can stem the tide. How much is left in the tank for Khalil Mack, too, by the way? But that expiring contract always seems to motivate you a little bit more, doesn't it? So I'm guessing double-digit sacks, if he stays healthy, could be a reality. I mean, they've got interesting pieces on that team. And then you get to the offense. You got Dobbins. You have Gus. You have Greg Roman. I mean, Herbert's a stud, we think. You know what I mean? He's got zero playoff wins, but they could be an interesting club in 2024. Ravens West. How's that one sound? Ugh,
good luck. Yeah. That's all awesome.
It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. When we come back, well, Toronto's not having a lot of luck so far here in 2024 in Baltimore, taking on the Orioles 3-game set starting tonight at 6:35. Caitlin McGrath's going to be joining us. She covers the Blue Jays for the Athletics. Stay tuned for that. NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15. And we'll preview the schedule a little bit more with Nate Davis from USA Today. Talking some NFL. Ravens open against Kansas City. If we're predicting the other Ravens national TV games, I'm guessing the Chargers are a lock to be one. Insert division foe here. Who could the next two be? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, this is Matt Spiegel, and on my podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, we learn how the best broadcasters in the game, like the Reds' John Sadak, try to capture the greatness of the best players, like Ellie De La Cruz.
He's a video game character. I mean, he is so athletic, and I think each moment is its own living entity, and I try to just match whatever that moment is.
The PBP, Voices of Baseball. We bring you the people who bring you the game. Find us on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The latest sports news and your place to talk about it. Always. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. And on this Monday, Bob Haney with you. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Orioles and Blue Jays tonight. Start 3-game set. 6:35 first pitch. Jose Berríos for Toronto. Corbin Burnes for the Orioles. Burnes take 2 out of 3 from Arizona. Losing the finale yesterday, 9-2. Toronto drops 2 out of 3 against those red-hot Minnesota Twins. Here to talk about the East foes of the Birds. It's the Battle of the Birds. She covers the Toronto Ball Club for the Athletic. Let's welcome into the program Caitlin McGrath. Caitlin, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here on 105.7 The Fan.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Now, looking at Toronto statistically here, looks like run production's been somewhat of a problem so far through 40 games in 2024. Why the tepid offensive numbers, at least early on this season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really comes down to the fact that, you know, some of their big stars haven't performed to the level that they expected. The two names that really stand out would be George Springer and Bo Bichette. They're both, you know, well off their career marks. And it's been surprising, I think, especially for Bo. I mean, George, you could sort of look at it as like, well, he's entering the potentially later stages of his career. He's getting older. We all expect there to be some level of decline as players get older. But Bo is really in the prime of his career right now. And for the Blue Jays, he's basically been their best hitter for the last number of years, and he's always been a great hitter dating back to when he was a prospect. And so it's been very surprising to see him not at his usual level, and I think it's really impacted the Blue Jays lineup because, you know, he is a guy that gets on base, he drives in runs, he drives and he has some power. And so they haven't been able to get, you know, the expected level of production from some of their stars. And, you know, it's trickled down the lineup a little bit. There's other guys that haven't been hitting as well. You know, Alejandro Kirk is a guy that stands out as well as not off to the great offensive start they hoped. So I think that overall that's been kind of the main issue for their offense.
Now, Kalen, staying with Bo Bichette, I mean, his OPS is 552, which is, I didn't realize things were that bad for him so far this year. Is it becoming a frustrating thing for, I mean, he's still a young guy, as you know, but he's a young veteran and ready to level up into like this MVP kind of conversation. Is it becoming a frustrating run for Bo Bichette right now?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him even drop in the lineup the last week. He was hitting sixth, which is not where you expect someone like Bo Bichette to be hitting in a lineup. He was moved up yesterday, and I would say that the last couple of games have been a little better. He's been getting some hits, and I always expected it to turn for him because, again, like, he's just always been a guy that can hit the ball. If you look at the last number of seasons, you look at the top hitters in the American League, the guys that have just hit the most, have led the league in hits, he's right at the top most of these years. Even last year, it looked like he was going to contend for the batting title until he got injured in July and kind of slowed down. And so I'm sure it's been frustrating for him because, you know, he's always been a guy that could put the bat on the ball, and this year it hasn't been going. I think he's handled it well. You know, he's handled his struggles. He's handled sort of the demotion in the lineup well. He's just gone out there and kept, you know, trying his best to get things sorted. He's always one of the hardest working guys on the team, you know, always out there early taking BP, taking ground balls and stuff like that. So it doesn't seem like he's, you know, changed anything or let the frustration seep into the work. But, you know, obviously he's a guy that has high standards, not just for himself, but for the team. And the fact that he hasn't been able to help the team the way that he would like to, and the team's sort of overall record has suffered, you know, because of that. It's a frustrating time for the Blue Jays overall.
Kayla McGrath covers the Blue Jays for The Athletic. Toronto coming in 8.5 behind the Orioles in the American League's Eastern Division. Bob Haney with you on the Fan. Moving to the rotation, and it looks like Kikuchi and Berríos are doing their jobs here, but Bassitt, Gausman, former Oriole, maybe not so much right now. What's so Kevin Gausman's main problem right now?
Yeah, well, I think with Kevin Gausman, it all kind of boils down to the fact that he had missed most of spring training dealing with, you know, an arm issue, arm fatigue, just wasn't bouncing back the way that he usually would in spring training. So he was down most of spring training. He only made one start in spring training, and that was the last day of camp. And so the Blue Jays opted not to put him on the IL to start the season, you know, so that he could build up, you know, at their spring training facility and then, you know, make his major league debut later, or this season debut, I should say. But he started the season with the team just kind of on a pitch limit. And so he kind of spent the early parts of the season, like, still kind of finding his form a little bit. It's almost like he was working through spring training, but it was the regular season. The Blue Jays sort of just decided that we'd be better off even with Gausman on a limited pitch count as opposed to not having him at all. But I think what we've seen is just like how important it is for starters to have a full spring training to be able to build up, to be able to work on things during games that don't really matter, because I think Gausman has just talked about just not quite feeling like himself basically for the first month, still kind of trying to find that rhythm that you need as starting pitcher. So the last couple of starts, he's looked better, except for, you know, the Twins series. He really struggled. That's just been a team that he has just always really struggled against. They, you know, just have really good approaches against him. But he said physically he felt really good. He felt like his stuff was there. And so I would expect things to just keep going up and up for Gausman, because, you know, he's a guy that for the last number of years has been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and he's been exceptionally reliable for the Blue Jays. So I think his troubles kind of just stem from that that spring training injury that I had that he had that sort of seeped into the regular season.
Kaitlin, I know Alek Manoah took the tough L yesterday. Will we ever see the 2022 version of this guy again, or is that gonzo?
Well, you know, I think yesterday was a really good sign for him. He was pitching deep into the game. He was able to get strikeouts. He was able to get some quick outs, which is really important for him. That's the biggest thing that was surprising about last year, was just how much he struggled with, you know, being efficient on the mound, being able to get quick outs. When he was at his best, he was able to attack the strike zone, get ahead of hitters, and just be aggressive from there. And last year, he just was not able to find the zone. He would fall behind. Then he's kind of battling against, the opposition. Then he's, trying to throw strikes and missing his spots, getting hit hard. All these things just kind of piled on. And so this season, or what we saw yesterday, I think, was probably the most encouraging start we've seen from him basically since 2022, when, he was a guy that was leading the way for the Blue Jays. So, it's hard to say what we're going to see from him for the rest of the year. It was only just one start, and it's kind of been a mixed bag for him. If you're looking at the starts that he's had in the majors so far, and just also looking at the starts that he had in the minors as he was rehabbing an injury, it was like, one step forward, two steps back sometimes with him. So I think you hope that what he did against the Twins, looking a lot more like he looked a couple years ago, he can build upon. And the Blue Jays really need it because, as we've talked about, the offense has struggled. They're not getting the usual pitching from guys like Gausman and Bassett. They can't really sustain another hit to their team. So they really need Manoah to sort of round into form. They don't need him to necessarily be a Cy Young guy, but they need him to be able to pitch every fifth day and keep them in ball games.
Kaitlin, last thing for you, with Toronto coming to Baltimore in last place right now, granted it's still only mid-May, if things don't turn around, could we see a dramatically different Blue Jays team maybe as early as post-trade deadline and certainly moving into the offseason?
I think it's a fair question to ask, and it's kind of stunning that you have to ask that, because these were supposed to be the, prime contention years of the Blue Jays, and they have been contenders the last number of years. They've made the postseason 2 years in a row, haven't won a game in the postseason, so that's been a struggle for them, is that, yes, they've been able to get over the hump and become a playoff team, but they haven't been able to put on a sustained run in the postseason, and that's what really matters when you're building a contender. And that's the main frustration, I think, in Toronto right now with the fans, is that, you promised us a winner, and yes, they've gotten to the postseason, but they haven't been able to do anything when they've gotten there. And so do I think it'll be a dramatic change? I don't think so, just because, they still have Vlad and Bo next year. Both those players aren't scheduled to be free agents until after next season. Gausman signed, Bassett will be back. So there's a number of guys that are your core that are still going to be around next year. But I think the Blue Jays, if they're not able to turn around their season, do have to sort of contemplate the idea of maybe a guy like Kikuchi, who is a free agent after this season and he's pitching as well as he is. I mean, there's going to be contending teams that would love a starter like Kikuchi to join their team down the stretch. And so I think that the Blue Jays are going to have to really wrestle with a tough decision if they don't turn their season around, and maybe have to look at maybe making some changes to kind of reset for next year and hope that they can get off to a better start next year.
Kayla McGrath, what's happening with The Athletic covering the Blue Jays there?
Sorry?
Yeah, what's going on at The Athletic covering Toronto baseball here?
Things are good at The Athletic. I continue to, write about the Blue Jays as much as possible. I'm unfortunately not in Baltimore this week. I didn't make the trip, but I will be there later in the year because the Blue Jays are back there at the trade deadline. So I'm looking forward to getting back to Baltimore because I have gone there every single season since I've covered the Blue Jays, and I really like Camden Yards.
You didn't watch this 2 out of 3 possible sweep live and in person anyway. Kaitlin McGrath, The Athletic. Kaitlin, appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll talk to you next time Toronto's in town.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Kayla McGrath, everybody. We'll come back, reset the program for you. Got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Going to hear more from Isaiah Likely and hear from Eric DaCosta as well. Give you that American League East report. Busy weekend in the division, still led by the Orioles. And Nate Davis, USA Today, talks some NFL with him. Coming up at 1:30, Orioles and Blue Jays, 6:35, first pitch. Baltimore baseball tonight brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me and Ryan Ripken, live from Pickles. Stop by, say hello. We start at 5:30.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
NFL lunch coming up, matter of minutes. Ravens open their season at Kansas City, September 5th. That's been confirmed. We'll talk more about the schedule, predicted a little bit. Nate Davis, USA Today, bottom of the hour. American League East report coming out 1:15. Nolan, are you big on power rankings?
They're good for conversation starters.
All right, well, how about this one? ESPN has a new one, came out today. Today's the 13th, right? Coming in at number one, the Chiefs. Until someone knocks them off their perch, they're the team to beat. They added Marquise Brown. I forgot about that. Brought in Xavier Worthy, too. Got some speed. Talked earlier about Rashee Rice. All right. His legal problems might prevent him from being at Arrowhead, but that'll be due process, and we'll see how that one goes. San Francisco coming in at number two. Any issues here with the defending NFC champions?
No. Tons of talent on that roster. Would thoroughly expect them to be back in that NFC championship mix when it's all said and done.
And number three, the Ravens. And post-free agent ranking, they came up from four post-draft. And the most improved position, according to the ESPN League of Nations, wasn't that like a superhero thing, the League of Nations or the Justice League, whatever it is? But cornerback, Nate Wiggins, and a guy that I don't know why, Nolan, but I think this TJ Tampa is going to be a steal in the fourth round. I don't know why. I'm just feeling it. I'm getting warm and fuzzy about this dude in the fourth round.
Well, I definitely think you'd have to agree on that position being most improved when you get two guys of that value. And, you know, TJ Tampa heading into the draft, a lot of second round, even third round at worst grades, ends up falling all the way to the fourth. So just strictly from a value perspective and getting two players there, yeah, I'd agree. No doubt about it. Cornerback most improved.
Yeah, and Breece Hall, who was a teammate of Tampa's at Iowa State, said he's going to be the steal of the draft. And if he is, and Nate Wiggins plays like a first-round draft pick, oh, well, Eric DaCosta hitting home runs there at the cornerback spot. Detroit comes in at four. So the top four teams, all four made it to the championship games last year. Philly's an interesting one because they had a very disappointing end to their season. They went quietly in the playoffs, and I'm guessing they got a lot of hot seat dudes going into this season after a debacle. They started off great. They were the best team in football for about a month or so, and then they flamed out big time in December and January.
And a lot of rumblings of some drama there in the locker room between players, coaches, some sort of disconnect that, you know, anytime the players were asked about it or asked to face the music, coaches for that matter too, swept it under the rug. Nothing to see here. And they decided to run it back. You know, GM, ownership said, no, we'll give this another go. And I'm not really convinced, at least on paper, that it's going to be all sunshine and rainbows for them.
And here's the trendy pick. It looks like, at least as we sit here in May, the Houston Texans, who the Ravens face in Houston this year, this could be a potential primetime opponent for them. And we'll find out all of this coming up in a couple of nights. But Houston made the playoffs last year, lost to Baltimore. Matter of fact, made the Ravens sweat in the first half. And then Lamar kind of supermanned it up in the second half of that game. But, you know, C.J. Stroud looks like a rising superstar. They traded for Stephon Diggs. They added in the draft. They brought in Joe Mixon to run the football. I mean, this is it. Is the optimism, I don't know, justified? Are we kind of heaping a little bit too much praise on them right now?
Well, without playing any games, I will say it is justified. If we're just judging based on moves made, activity, aggressiveness in free agency, and then, you know, adding on to it through the draft. And I'm not alone in this. Everyone seems to be saying that, hands down, Houston Texans have had the best offseason so far.
Yeah, six. Miami, seven. Let's see, Buffalo, eight. And a lot on that Josh Allen plate looks like this year. Cincinnati, nine, hoping for the return to health for Joe Burrow. Pardon me, and apparently he was throwing the ball well a couple of weeks ago out there at camp in the Green Bay. I mean, the Pack coming in at 10 ahead of Dallas, who they spanked in the playoffs. All that angst about Jordan Love. No quarterback problems in Green Bay anymore, are there?
No. Question is now, how do you follow it up with some higher expectations? Because last year it was, all right, anything we get close to a winning record here, sniffing the playoffs, if we're, you know, battling for a wild card spot down the stretch, I think if you told the fans that, they would have been thrilled. Not only to make the playoffs then, win a game on the road, take the 49ers and give them a hell of a game in the divisional round as well. So now kind of the pressure's on you. You're no longer the sleeper. You're no longer flying under the radar. People know what they're going to get out of Jordan Love. How do you follow it up?
Well, here's your feeble five as we go to the bottom end, as Vinny would say. Let's see here. The Giants, Arizona, New England, Denver, Carolina, bringing up the rear. Long seasons ahead.
For Carolina, man, I mean, not surprised to see them on the bottom here, but I don't know how much more that fan base could take. Yeah. I mean, last year to be, the losing's bad enough, but then when you throw in the ownership stuff, it just makes you a laughing stock and it's demoralizing.
And Bryce Young, it might be the reverse Manning Leaf. Remember, Colts took Manning number one, then Leaf went two. They went Young one, Stroud two. That's all to be determined, but advantage Houston big time, at least in year one there.
Yeah,
between those two.
It's not even close if we're just going off 1 year.
We'll come back, NFL Lunch. Going to hear from Eric DaCosta, Isaiah Likely, American in the East report, give you an updated look at the standings, the scores, the schedules, et cetera, et cetera. And then Nate Davis, USA Today, talks about NFL with him. Ravens open in Kansas City. Get your plane tickets ready, I guess.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.